I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Beep, beep. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. Crash, smash. No, familia. Welcome to the Bechdel cast. That was a close one.
Oh, wow. We sure are fast.
We're fully already. We're the fast and the feminist, more like. Ha, 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 wow. Ha. New t-shirt. My name is Jamie Loftus.
My name's Caitlin Durante.
Ew. This is the Bechdel cast, our show about cars. This is basically car talk today.
Yeah, I drive, not to brag, a Toyota Prius from
2010. I don't have a driver's license. Beep, beep. What's up?
So what we really do is talk about movies from a feminist perspective and discuss how a movie treats and represents women.
So this is our Fast and the Furious episode. It has been requested quite a bit before. We're lining this up with the release of feminist text Hobbs and Shaw, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm so excited to dig into it. And to be clear, this is about The Fast and the Furious, parentheses 2001, the first installment in the franchise, because at least 4 of the 8 movies have basically the same title, and it's confusing. We're talking about the first movie.
Yes.
And then our very well-informed guest will give us some insight into subsequent installments.
Indeed.
Tokyo Drift, anyone?
Haven't seen it.
Beep, beep.
I don't know. And for those who are perhaps new to the podcast, we use the Bechdel test as a jumping off point to initiate a larger conversation about overall representation of women. And the Bechdel test, of course, is a media metric created by cartoonist Alison Bechdel that requires that a movie or an entire franchise must have 2 named female-identifying characters who speak to each other about something other than a man.
Oh, here's an example, right? Mm. Ready? Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Jamie.
Beep, beep.
Who's there?
Meow.
And that passed the Bechdel
test.
But what
it
if
it passes?
Yeah. Okay, we're doing good.
Yeah.
Without much further ado, I say we introduce our guest.
I think she really is the authority here.
Indeed, indeed. She is an artist. She is the owner of Junior High, a feminist art space right here in Los Angeles. And you know her from our Josie and the Pussycats episode. It's Faye Orlov.
Hi. Beep beep, y'all.
Beep beep. Honk honk.
I don't think they honk once in the movie.
Why aren't they? Why? Mm. It's already such a loud movie. They may as well honk. Is that like bad form? I don't know much about street racing.
You didn't learn everything you needed to know from those 90 minutes?
There was There was street racing in my hometown between the Burger King and the high school.
Oh, how many miles is that? About a quarter mile?
It's about a quarter mile.
That's a quarter mile. Yeah, so you've been living a quarter mile at a time since high school.
That monologue is wild.
He's like, I don't give a fuck about anything.
I don't care about my family,
for
my girlfriend.
Those 10 seconds.
That makes me feel alive. And you're like, holy
also,
shit.
We should mention that Faye drove up here on her motorcycle.
Oh, my crotch rocket, as referred to in the film lovingly, I think.
Beep, beep, y'all.
Beep, beep. I don't know if it... Oh, it does have a horn, I think.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, what? See,
for safety.
No one's using their horns enough, mm-hmm. I think.
I didn't know you didn't have a license. I thought you were just poor.
There, well, it can't it be both? There,
can't
I'm a complex female character.
I was really trying to kind of put you in a box.
Faye, what is your relationship with this movie and then the whole Fast and Furious franchise?
Yes.
These are my favorite movies of all time. Okay. That's where my relationship begins. Uh-huh. No, I guess I've always loved them. And then my college roommate, shout out Katie, it turned out she loved them too.
Okay.
It was just a real moment when we realized that we had these in common. And as they came out, we would see them together and we developed a drinking game to them that does have to somewhat adapt per.
Ooh.
I did not play it this morning when I rewatched Fast and Furious at around 9 a.m.
You did not drink?
I did not, but it actually is a little bit more applicable to the later movies. I did realize upon rewatch of this first one, which I normally skip in my rewatch, that it harshly did not pass the Bechdel test.
Well, I have a case for it passing, but we'll save it. We'll save it to the end.
I'm curious because I was very unpleasantly surprised upon my rewatch. But I like what you said towards the beginning, that maybe we can sort of analyze these movies franchise-wide, because I do think they develop a stronger ethos, well, skipping Tokyo, but 2 and 3 and onward.
Okay.
That I do find them way more feminist-driven.
Interesting.
Did you see these movies like in theaters growing up and
yes.
stuff like that? Okay.
Yes. I do think I went home after the first one and told my mom I wanted a thong after seeing Michelle Rodriguez emerge from a very low car.
I was going to say from a thong-shaped egg.
Yeah,
she hatched.
Okay, so you're our resident expert
yes.
on this franchise.
What's your history?
My history, I saw the first movie in 2002. I was in high school, probably like a sophomore or junior, and I did not feel compelled to see any of the other ones after that or rewatch that movie at any point. Don't get me wrong. I like a lot of toxic male-driven franchises.
Indiana Jones.
It's sort of my thing, anyway. Unfortunately. There is nothing about these movies that... I hate cars. You know, they're like, oh, the turbo and the nitrous and the...
It's called NOS.
It's NOS. Which is also an energy drink that I was really into in college. And so for a while, I'm like, are they straight up putting Monster energy beverage in their
essentially,
cars?
Without getting too scientific, yes.
Have you ever had a NOS?
No.
Okay, well...
I was actually shocked you didn't supply some as I walked in.
I should have gotten a can of NOS for this episode, but that is an existing... I was, you know, I'm a lady must watch her figure because society be like that, but so I was a diet NOS gal.
You were not.
Let's keep it classy.
I've never heard of this NOS beverage.
It is essentially jet fuel that you put into your body.
But anyway, so yeah, I something about this franchise just does not appeal to me at all. So I've seen the first one. I rewatched it, obviously, to prep for this episode. And then I started to watch Too Fast, Too Furious just to see how I intended to get as far into the franchise as I could just to have some more informed
opinions. And you got to 2.
Sure. I got halfway through Too Fast, Too Furious and then had to stop. So
sure.
That's my relationship with this franchise. Jamie, what about you?
Well, I would say that I have seen only Tokyo Drift.
that one is like the one that isn't even like canon.
I know. It's like, isn't that like a prequel or
that's
something?
That's when they have the 40-year-old playing a high schooler.
Yeah, I liked that one.
It's a good movie, but it's like not.
It has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
I saw that at a drive-thru. I mean, again.
Appropriate.
Exactly. Yeah, we were all honk honk and beep beeping. Yeah, I mean, this is like a franchise that is not my genre really at all. I also like have a little bit of noise sensitivity, and I was just like, I just can't. Like, it's even hard for me to see like a Star Wars movie in the theater because it's so loud. Mm. And this movie, even on my humble Roku TV, was so very loud.
I feel like that they probably have some sort of warning on Diet Nas for noise sensitivity.
Right.
It's just like,
I don't know. Yeah, it was just never my thing. I mean, everyone I grew up with saw all of them. So it's like one of those franchises that even though I wasn't really engaged in it, I felt like I saw them all because everyone would be so excited about it.
But I mean, this is a huge, it's Universal's highest grossing franchise. There are
eight
movies now, including Hobbs and Shaw. There's, I think, Fast and Furious 9 coming out in 2020. Like,
they've grossed $4 billion. Oof. Like, it is a huge,
I think, about
franchise.
$2 billion of that is just from me alone.
You're a very wealthy woman.
I like to spend it on.
You're in literally a golden rolly chair right now. But yeah, so I this was my first time seeing this movie, at least paying attention to it. And oh man, there's just so much happening.
Oh boy.
There's so much, you know, and it's like, I really love the power of the first time you see a woman on screen, she is making a sandwich for a man. And I think that's my feminism.
Mm-hmm.
This is also one of the many movies that came out like a few months before 9/11, and it shows. Like, there's we've covered so many movies that come out like right before 9/11, and it's kind of like a weird mix of genres. But this movie came out in the summer of 2001, and it's just, I mean, truly based strictly on the fact that after 9/11, movies were not fun for a while. You didn't get a good romp for a while. And this movie is so, like, truck-sized plot holes. Like, but that's not what it's for.
Right.
It's just supposed to be, like, a fun movie that you're not supposed to be thinking about whether it makes sense or not. Which is a very, like, pre 9/11, or just in general, kind of like a 90s. We just recorded an episode on Independence Day where it's like that movie is, the stakes are deathly high, and yet it is like this fun, goofy movie.
I must have never fully processed 9/11 then, because I live my life for fast cars and fast women.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say a quarter mile at a time.
Well, yeah, like, goes without saying.
Should I just dive right into the recap? Should I zoom into this film? Okay.
So all you listeners, get revved up.
Yeah.
Recap.
Put your car into
neutral
gear
and then
or something.
Forward.
Yeah. Slam on the brakes. I don't know, the gas. I know how to drive.
We're really playing to
flip up that weird red switch that every car in these movies has that turns on the knob.
Turn up your boombox that's in the car and turn on your green hacker lights.
Oh yeah. There's a hacker in this movie.
We're really playing to female stereotypes of not knowing what a car is.
What a car is.
Anyway, proceed.
We see three black cars robbing a tractor trailer truck that's carrying a bunch of electronics.
DVDs.
DVDs.
DVD players. The heist of this movie, the stakes are DVD players.
Yes.
And that is so 2001.
So
that's very pre-9/11.
Personally,
that's as high as the stakes get.
So DVD player crime. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't believe it, but the black cars that are driving around, they're fast. And they're furious.
They're so mad.
I would agree with that characterization.
But they're also feminist, which is not included in the title. Fast, they're furious, they're feminist.
Now we cut to Brian. That's Paul Walker's character. Mm-hmm. He is driving a green car. He's fast. He's furious.
But he's about what?
We don't know. He does say, oh, shit.
He does. And then
I'm
we're like
why are you mad? Yeah. I don't know what happened.
He's furious.
Yeah. he is trying to flirt with a woman named Mia. That's Jordana Brewster.
Yes, of Deb's fame.
Of Deb's fame.
The sandwich making fame as well.
There. Oh, she's... yeah. An icon in crustless tuna sandwiches.
Women which... be making sandwiches.
Yeah, for Paul Walker.
And also, it's not... Like, it's like a weird, like, grocery store. It's not even, like, a restaurant.
It looks like a bar, but they sell, I thought it was a bar. Like, market items.
Yeah, yeah. Asked a bartender like a bodega to make you a tuna sandwich.
Where this woman's making tuna
It's obviously
sandwiches.
A front for the crimes everyone is committing.
Yeah, the DVD player eyes. Yes. Yeah.
But she's still running the business by herself.
Like, and she does have a name in the first scene. Which is cool.
She does have a name in the first scene. Just to set the bar where this franchise is about at for me, it's just like, well, at least she's getting paid for this. At least it's not
I think it's like a family business, so I don't think she's
It's called Toretto's, which is Toretto's her last name.
Right. I'm like, at least she's at work and it's not just like some random guy being like, make me a sandwich, and she's like, okay, crust or no crust. No crust.
Yeah. She is the sister of Dom Toretto, Vin Diesel.
I've heard of him.
He is an important fast car boy. And he and his buddies...
He vroom-vrooms better than anyone in this town.
He certainly does. He and his buddies show up to the bodega. Again, we don't know what it is. And you wouldn't believe it, but all of them are Fast and Furious 2. We meet Letty, that's Michelle Rodriguez. She is Dom's girlfriend. We meet Vince. He's got anger issues. Leon, and then Jesse is the hacker.
He's the hacker who comes and he's so confused. He's like, Dom, I'm so fucked up. I don't know what to do. He's just like, I don't understand. I think it's funny because I don't fully understand Jesse's character. And also multiple people in the movie don't seem to know what Jesse's role is and everything. They're like, why is he around? And Dom's just like, he's my friend. And
I'm
like,
Ollie's God.
I guess that's relatable of just like one guy who you're just like, why is he here all the time? Does anyone like him? And they're like, and then one guy is just like, leave him the fuck alone. You're like, okay, Jesus. I guess Jesse's our friend.
Is that some of the characters are described as being, they just sort of showed up one day and then never left.
Two of them, literally two of the main characters.
Yeah. Like the way, isn't that the scene with Brian and Mia where Brian's
date.
Trying to, it's, I mean, it suggests he's doing it for his job, but it's also just exposition. And yeah, Mia gives him non-answers. She's like, well, we all just sort of lived in the same neighborhood and some people just kind of wandered in. And anyways, 25 years later, here we are.
It is weird because they're so against Paul Walker, Brian coming into the group, yet it seems like the rest of them did sort of just waltz in.
Is he not just the latest rando?
The hottest guy they're threatened by.
Oh, maybe that's
something to ponder.
True. Maybe they're like, okay, these frosty tips, too far.
Those glacier blue eyes. Can't look away.
So Vince in particular is upset that Brian is hanging around and they get in a fist fight.
He's wearing a mesh shirt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Dom is like, don't come around here again.
Vince says, what's up with this fool? He's sandwich crazy or something?
Another great line. Sandwich
crazy. There's a lot of good lines.
Sandwich crazy. The greatest of insults.
An incredible burn.
Then Brian enters into a street race. Dom is also there to race Mr. Firefest himself, aka Ja Rule.
Ja's there. Ja's, you know, dreaming up a scam in real time. Billy is 10 years old at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he
but Ja's texting him.
Hand just straight up on a boob.
Yeah.
That a
consensually.
Woman puts
consensually.
There.
She is empowered.
She is the one who puts his hand on her boob.
Yes.
So
she just, that's just like a thing where she just regrets that later on.
Yes.
Come Firefest.
Right. Come Firefest. I mean, come Firefest, we all really had to reckon with ourselves.
With our feelings about Ja Rule. And water bottles.
I think it's maybe the one good thing about the fact that Ja Rule was the musician implicated in Firefest was there's like so few Ja Rule stands that no one was like, no. Like everyone was pretty willing to be like, well, I guess there's not that really loud song at the end of the Fast and the Furious one.
I know no one was like, but he makes such good music.
Yeah, there's no art versus, there's no defending
art
the, art
the artist
of a Ja Rule. So that's, you know, that's at least something.
So they're all gathering for this race. This guy, Johnny Tran, is also there. Mm-hmm. The race happens. It's pretty touch and go for a while, but eventually Dom beats out Brian. trouble is, Brian bet his car, but before Dom can collect this new car that he now owns, the cops show up and chase down everyone, and they chase down Dom on foot, but Paul Walker, Brian, swoops in,
has his back,
picks him up and gets him away from the cops. Then Johnny Tran and some fast motorcycle boys show up and they shoot at Brian's car. And he's like, no, that was my Fast and Furious car.
That's a direct quote.
So then he and Dom get back to Dom's place, and Dom trusts Brian now because he saved him from getting arrested.
It's also implied that they walked 20 miles.
But then you see them getting out of a cab.
Yeah.
So I don't know how far they walked and how far the cab ride was. Unclear.
I don't know. Everyone's
ladies.
Income in
it doesn't matter.
They were 20 miles from the house.
But Dom's buds, especially Vince, still are like, we don't know this guy. We don't trust him. And to be fair, they are right not to trust him because the big reveal happens.
He's a cop.
He is a cop.
He's a cop.
Are they right?
Well,
because... he's a good guy.
I mean, I think guy. That's one of the many fallacies of this movie.
Like, is that any cop
undercover
could be a
cops?
Good guy?
Actually, your friend.
Yeah.
So Brian has gone undercover using his same first name but different last name in the street racing world because the cops, the FBI, think that the people who are hijacking the trucks full of DVD players are street racers also. And this is where we realize that Fast and the Furious is basically Point Break, but with racing instead of surfing.
Oh.
I haven't seen Point Break, so stop right there with the references. Just stop it.
Jeez.
Anywho, so back undercover, Brian brings a car to Dom's place since he owes him a fast car.
10 second.
I love it. The 10 second car thing. This is like, that whole like thing. I was just like, I don't understand how men bond with each other, but I'm glad that they do. I like that. I feel like this movie is like relatively strong with like male friendships, which I think we should see more in movies.
Yes.
But the way that they do it, I'm just like, is this how that happens? Like,
I think the
I owe you a 10 second car. I'm like, just say I care about you. Like. There. We don't need to speak in this code.
Right. And then they all have a cookout together. Brian's really getting into this friend group, and he asks out Mia, who says no at first. She's like, I don't date my brother's friends.
Until 2 minutes later when she does.
Well, then, because she's trying to piss off Vince, and she's like, I'll go out with you to the restaurant that Vince wants to take me to.
I will say I liked that.
That's your kind of with, woman
with there's a few moments with the female characters here that I'm like, that really appeals to my like
bitterness.
My note. But thank you so much for acknowledging it and really making it more visible. Visibility is critical.
It is.
But like, this is like sort of the tail end of like girl power kind of characters, which I think that like Letty and Mia in certain moments are meant to fall into.
Yeah.
And even though it's like, no, that's not how that, but there is still like that tiny like 90s girl power chip that was put in my brain by the Spice Girls specifically.
Sure. Although that lasts like, for a while longer and even it keeps to some movies today.
Yeah, like, well, it's just like the cheap corporate fit. Like,
oh, yeah.
You're a good woman as long as you purchase this soap or whatever. But I liked that moment with Mia being like, I'm not going to go on a date with you. You're wearing a mesh shirt. I'm going to go on a date with Frosty Tips. And I was like, all right, well, she's got to go on a date with someone. Right. She's also washing dishes the whole time.
She's washing dishes. And she has also cooked that entire
meal
for them.
Yep.
So this pisses off Vince even more, and he already hates Brian enough. So the next day, their fast boyfriend Hector comes into the auto shop that Brian works at and buys a bunch of parts for 3 Honda Civics, which is the same make and model of the cars that have been hijacking the trucks.
Now, Hector's fast, but I wouldn't say that he's furious. He's a pretty agreeable, nice guy.
Yeah.
He's the fast and the friendly.
Aw.
Yeah.
T-shirt idea.
Yeah.
Another.
So Brian breaks into Hector's garage, but he sees that they're not the same car, so he's like, okay, they're not the hijackers.
Right.
But just then Vince finds him knocks him out, and then Vince and Dom are like, hey, Brian, you seem like a cop. And he's like, oh, no, I'm not. And then he makes up a story, and then they go and break into...
Look at my hair. Would a cop have this hair this bad?
His arguments are very weak, but they're like, okay.
Would he wear t-shirts as baggy as mine? No, a cop wouldn't do that.
I listen to Ja Rule. How could I be a cop?
So then they all go to Johnny Tran's garage, and they see a bunch of boxes of DVD players. So
that's gotta be like $400 worth of DVD players.
Your stomach drops when you see the DVD players. You're like, no, I thought the stakes were high.
Well, that's it. Like, you can buy a DVD player now for like $30. In 2001, DVD players were so expensive. Yeah. So I guess it makes sense.
My family paid off our DVD player in installments.
They should have just robbed one.
We should have just gone to Johnny Tran's garage.
Yeah.
But we paid it off over like 18 months.
They were very pricey.
They're expensive, yeah.
So now Brian suspects that Johnny Tran and his team are the hijackers, but he's like, there's not enough evidence. But the FBI moves in on them anyway, and it turns out that Johnny Tran and his Fast Boys are not actually the hijackers.
I love that you're calling them Fast Boys.
They're Fast Boys. What do you mean? Yeah.
I mean, we're certainly not about to call them the Slow Boys.
I mean, yeah.
They're fast.
You're right.
They're fast.
I shouldn't have brought it up.
Fast, furious, friendly, feminist.
Okay, so now one of Brian's cop friends is like, Brian, Dom and his Fast Boys are the hijackers, you dummy. And Paul Walker's like, no, he's my friend.
He's my friend. We had so many intense conversations.
About Nas.
On those, about the energy drink that we put in our gas tank.
But Brian goes to Dom and he's like, hey, whatever you're doing, I want in on it. So Dom tells him to go to the race wars, and then if he does well there, they'll talk about...
Also, what are we going to... Strain? It sounds... I mean, we should just acknowledge that we're going to be saying race wars a lot.
And it will not pertain to any sort of racial division.
It doesn't sound like it's going to sound like. Right. I straightened. I was like,
that's what you're calling it.
Vin Diesel was like, let's go down to the race wars. And you're just like... Where is this going? But of course, it's the Fast and the Furious, so it's just going somewhere completely stupid. And
they're going to the desert. I think they're going to Coachella.
They're just going. They say Coachella.
Yeah.
They're just going to a Fast and Furious location.
Yes.
But it is called the Race Wars, and sure.
Yeah.
Maybe in the new one, they'll be like, we're doing this big event. It's called the Gender Wars.
And it does not have anything to do.
Has nothing to do with gender. It's just what we're calling
this car.
We're
going to the Genocide Wars. It's actually just us racing each other.
It's just us like hanging out and driving our cars really fast. So they're at the Race Wars.
Yes. And Brian takes his like newly pimped out car there. Mm-hmm. But then Dom leaves abruptly with his team to go pull another job. So Brian goes up to Mia and he's like, hey, I'm a cop. Gotta go.
I like Mia's reaction because she's like, man. And like, she's just like, are you serious? Like, she's just pissed. And I'm like, I'm also exhausted with Paul Walker at this point.
Would you rather date a cop or an illegal street racer?
I just think Mia can do better in general.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I think that she's, you know, Jordana Brewster's like 20, 21 when this is filmed. Mm. So it's like, you know, she's just sort of, she's maybe this is her gap year. We don't know.
Also notice in the party scene when she comes in and sort of breaks up a fight and tells us like, Paul or Brian, come get me a drink, wants to kind of split it up. She just grabs a Snapple.
She does.
So she's got good sensibilities. She doesn't drink, you
right?
Know?
No. Well, because she drives him home then, so she hasn't been drinking and driving.
She's
That's
been
good.
Chugging a Snapple all night.
Yeah, she probably knows some facts.
I mean, I think in 2001 there were facts. Still.
There were facts.
Yeah. There. It is so funny. Like the Snapple. Like there is so much. I love blockbuster product placement because it is completely unsubtle. Like I don't know if Nas was an energy drink back in 2001. Holy shit. Like, that's if, like, Unobtainium was called, like, Diet Sprite. Like, they're just like, we can't let anyone get their hand on the Diet Sprite, the most important thing in the world. Like, they're So there is another. I have a few listed that we'll get to. Snapple.
Also, just to set the record straight, Corona is not a sponsor.
Really?
Vin just loves Corona.
Huh.
That was an artistic choice.
Wow. Incredible. I mean,
Vin, controversial figure.
I mean, I almost only drink Corona these days if I'm getting like a cheap beer because of Vin.
Because of Vin?
Because of it's a drink of Familia.
Sure.
I want to pop that top and know and that I'm family. Supported by my family and friends.
It's true. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. We keep doing movies with you that have a bunch of product placement. Remember?
Yeah. I love it. Oh my
Remember
gosh.
The Tidy Cats
the
discussion?
Tidy well, there's Cats literally, discussion.
Yeah, Josie is like, there's no more movie that has more product, more target recognition.
Anyway, so Ryan's like, hey, Mia, I'm a cop. I'm undercover. We got to go help out Dom and the Fast Boys.
And she's like, oh, shit. Okay, because, and then on the other side, like, Letty is having, like, there's that great scene where they're pulling off this last heist, and Vin is like, it's all good. I had a dream that we went to Mexico at the beach, and Michelle Rodriguez is like, okay, like, I still, there's three different characters that are like, I don't know, Vin, like, I don't know, Dom, this doesn't feel right. Yeah. I don't know if we should do this, and it's, and turns out, they are correct.
They're correct because everything goes wrong.
Never doubt a Fast Boy's intuition.
Right.
Another shirt idea.
The guy who's driving the truck that they're trying to steal from has a shotgun. Shit's falling apart. Letty crashes. Vin gets stuck to the truck. So then Brian and Mia catch up with them. They save Vince. He's badly injured. So then Brian makes a call right in front of Dom, and he's like, hi, it's Officer Brian. Please send help. Vin and then Dom is like, why I oughta.
The way he looks at him. I mean, my heart breaks. It shatters. That's his bro.
He trusted him.
Yeah.
And now he can't trust him
anymore. He asked him point blank, are you a cop? He said no. And then
he never says no. He skirts around
that's
it.
Actually so a actually. Really good point. How much I love Paul Walker. You don't have to convince me. I just, the heartbreak I feel when it comes to Vin Diesel and the way his eyes just look at Paul.
Sparkle.
I know.
Sparkle.
Just drains right out.
Yeah. No, I mean, their friendship, I mean, I'm excited to talk about
it. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So now we're back at Dom's house. Brian shows up because he has confirmed that his new BFF, Dom, is a criminal. And they're yelling at each other. They're pointing guns at each other. You might even say they're furious.
They're so mad. The Fast and the So Mad.
And then Jesse shows up, who had like taken off because he lost a race earlier against Johnny Tran. He's like, I don't know what to do. And then Johnny Tran shows up and shoots Jesse, which we don't deal with at all in the story. The movie
it's
just
almost
ends.
Just like, why did no one in the movie knows why Jesse was included? He's killed. It's just like, why? Remove Jesse from the movie.
Well, because he's the inciting incident for Vin then to run off and chase Johnny Tran and then kill him.
Oh, to be more furious.
Right. So
that's
true. So Brian
that's true.
And
because
Dom.
It's kind of showing more of his loyalty. The overlaying thread with all of these movies, and I think a big reason why I love them so much, is like loyalty and friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not.
It's beautiful. The Fast and the Friendship.
Friendship and Fury. Oh. No, yours was better. Yours was better.
The Fast and the Friend. Yeah, the Fast and the friendliest friendships. The Fast and the Family friendships.
Familia. Fast and Familia.
So, right. Then Dom and Brian go after Johnny Tran and his cousin, and they like stop them, but then they're like, we should race each other one last time. And they do it. And who wins? I'm not sure. Can't tell, but there's a train that almost hits him, and then Dom crashes, and he's like, I gotta get away, the cops are coming. And then Brian is like, hey, I still owe you a 10-second car. So he gives him his car, he gets away, and he's a bad cop because he didn't arrest the criminal.
No, because but in his defense, him and the criminal are friends.
They're friends. Friendship is more important than laws.
Right.
So that's the moral of this story.
Which, you know, often true.
Often true. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come right back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global.
When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
We're back. That was a boat. Do they ever ride boats, Faye? In your professional opinion?
No, but you should watch The Italian Job.
What about a train?
There's a lot of train-related scenes, but they're never directly driving the train. But there's like cars on a train that they have to get off a train. They're alongside trains. The physics get... It's kind of funny to look back and realize it started with DVD players because towards the end, it is like matters of national security. There's literally like an entity called God's Eye that can overlook every single human and what they're doing.
Wow.
And you're like, oh yeah, you just robbed some DVD players. And now you're...
You gotta raise the stakes from movie to movie.
They get raised so exponentially. I'm like, what is 9 gonna be like? That's all I think about.
I mean, the whole solar system is at stake.
I honestly, you're kidding, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go to space. Like, something is gonna be insane.
I mean, spaceships are fast and probably furious.
There's gonna be some sort of space war.
Oh, whoa.
Wow. From race war to space war, the Fast and the Furious journey.
Wow. They should get you writing me. I don't know if they started 10, but maybe.
They would never let a woman write these movies.
Yeah, let's be.
I'm actually kind of curious.
The same man has written at least 6 of them.
A few get kind of wonky, and then they come back to the older director, who's incredible.
Oh, okay. Let me figure out. The writer of this movie, The Fast and the Furious, 3 credited writers, Gary Scott Thompson, Eric Bergquist, and David Ayer. It looks like David Ayer also wrote Suicide Squad and Bright. Yikes.
Oh.
All right.
He's talented.
Gary Scott Thompson also wrote Too Fast, Too Furious. It looks like there's a different man writing like the most recent ones.
Okay, well, here you are just assuming gender. So really, that's on you.
It is truly a man named Mark. I cannot tell a lie. A man named Mark writes the Fast and the Furious movies, and are you shocked?
And no. So where do we want to start here?
I guess let's start with the female characters.
That's a good place to start.
There are 2, so it'll be quick.
There are 2. We'll just zip through this. Mm. Your cat, okay, it should be mentioned. Faye, you have a cat named Letty.
I do, a male cat. Well, both my cats are named after Fast and Furious characters. My girl cat is Dwayne the Cat Johnson. She's furious. Letty's fast, Dwayne's furious.
Oh, okay.
That tracks with what I know.
But it's so funny watching the movies now and just thinking about my cat instead of Michelle Rodriguez. But yeah, I can't overstate how much I love these movies. And I really kind of wish we watched like the 3rd one or 4th because this one, They just get so good.
They get so good. Maybe we'll do another episode and bring you back. We'll
for
see.
I'm fully available.
For when the next one comes out. Yeah. There's always going to be a next one. Is
every 1 to 2 years.
Blessing and the curse of the Fast of the Fast franchise.
Well, they actually, I do think they're ending at 10 because they got like budgeted for Fast like X.
Otherwise, they're going to have to start paying Vin Diesel in like planets. It's like they make...
That's what the Space Wars is about. Yes.
That's the Space War one. That's the final one. Okay, let's talk about Mia. Let's start with Mia.
Sure.
She's the first female character that we really see on screen. She is Dom's sister.
Yep.
She manages the front business, sort of.
I guess it seems
like she kind of just makes food for whoever asks.
Yeah.
Is something we see her do a lot. She is fully a love interest character.
Yep.
She's basically in the story, I would argue, just to make, you know, to like complicate Paul Walker. There's so many times when Brian is talking to his fellow police officers and they're like, well, maybe if you didn't have such strong feelings for Mia, you'd be able to be a better cop. And I'm like,
but
what if cops talk to each other like
honor.
That? He does. He shoves a pervert.
He does.
He shoves a pervert.
But that happens a lot. I'm thinking also in like... The Rock, not Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but the Michael Bay film, The Rock,
yes,
his wife, where Nicolas Cage's girlfriend character, everyone keeps telling Nicolas Cage, like, don't think about her. You're just going to get distracted and confused. Like,
right.
So this is kind of an example of a woman being present in the story as sort of an obstacle almost, or like seen as being like, you're clouding this man's judgment because of your feminine wiles or something.
Another part of Jordana that I love, or Mia, the character of Mia, is that throughout the franchise, she does go from having bangs to not having bangs and then back again, which is a huge female.
That is a journey.
What a character arc.
A woman with a forehead.
I can't say I don't relate.
Yeah, as a woman with a forehead, I've been there.
Yeah.
And it really, I mean, does it directly. I wish, one of the many reasons I wish that there was at least one credited female writer is if, you know, you could really work in story into the bangs, because if you're getting bangs, you're not in a good place.
Yeah.
Especially if I would, you know, like Jordana Brewster, I prefer her without the bangs, but I would understand, you know, sometimes I bring out the bangs when I'm feeling.
I do see you just got your bangs cut and they're pulled back right now. So are we?
Because I'm feeling much better now.
Okay. Because that did seem like a cry for help at the time.
It definitely was.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just think if male writers understood women better, they could write to these bangs choices.
Absolutely.
I think the bangs kind of tell their own story, but, you know, to each their own.
It's worth mentioning, I have sort of this lineup of things that happen to main female characters later in the franchise. Mm. I have not seen these movies, but in the fifth movie, the villain of whatever that one is threatens to have her raped and killed. In the sixth movie, she gets kidnapped and held as a prize for the men to retrieve. And she eventually...
Where are you, just curious, getting this information as someone who has not seen the movies? Like some Wikipedia synopsis or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Just like, because she's not in all of them. She's in five of them.
Yeah.
But these are, I guess, in the later installments. It's weird. I mean, I'm interested in your opinion on this too. Based on strictly the Wikipedia read, it would seem that the attitudes towards women, in fact, may get worse over time, because I was pleasantly surprised that a blockbuster movie chose not to completely damsel or like hold a woman as like collateral or to be rescued in the first movie, but it seems like that happens a bunch later on.
Uh-huh. Yes. But yeah, so with Mia, she is in the world of street racing sort of only on the periphery, where she like hangs out with other street racers.
She mostly makes sandwiches for street
racers.
But right,
she doesn't get to participate in any races. We do see her driving fast on her date with Brian, but she's fairly passive.
It is later,
otherwise.
You do learn later that she's an excellent driver as well, and sort of makes it a conscious choice not to be part of that world, but is more than like welcomed in it, and she has like every capacity to be talented in that regard.
Well, we do see her at the very end whenever Brian has caught up to the final heist that's happening, and she's behind the wheel most of the time of Brian's car because he's trying to save Vince, and so she's doing some, you know, pretty complicated fast and furious driving.
Yes.
So we see that she is competent, but
and that, like, yeah, women are included in the climax of the movie. Like, everyone is participating in the climax of the movie. There is a moment where they're like, Letty is hurt. Just kidding, she's fine. And then she sort of rejoins the action. But I thought that was cool that the two female characters that we have are at least included in at least one big action scene. They're sidelined, I think, a lot earlier in the movie. Yeah. And the way that all women are portrayed earlier in this movie is like,
Yeah.
But it was cool that, like, the climactic scene, you know, it's not like Pacific Rim woman launched out of the scene.
Sure.
Never to be seen again.
Yes. I would say, though, that this is another movie where a woman who is good at cars is shorthand for she's not like
she's
the
cool.
other girls.
Yeah.
She's down to earth.
Because it's like, she's got a traditionally masculine skill, so that makes her cooler and more able to hang than other girls.
I'm wondering if, like, the moment that you were possibly going to bring up, kind of making the campaign that this does pass the Bechdel test, is when Michelle Rodriguez, to another woman who's hanging over Dom, calls them skanks.
Yes.
And then they say, okay, we'll back off. And that is a conversation. And that is not about a guy.
But do they have names?
She is named.
She is named.
Okay, because, so here's what happens. As they're approaching Dom, he goes, "Hey, Camille. Hey, Monica."
God damn it!
So their name,
damn it,
Camille and Monica. But that is not the only woman named Monica in this movie.
There's a different Monica with Ja Rule.
Exactly. So, like,
I mean, I guess that's.
Are
true
we sure
to
Monica
life.
Wasn't just recast?
Is it I mean, the they're same? Two different What's... actors.
Yeah.
Like, it is so clearly, like, the screenwriters knew exactly one woman between the three of them named Monica. And they're like, oh,
they're
my
drafting
God.
This
what
around
are you...
the Lewinsky scandal. They're just like, Monica. People love
okay,
Monica. Okay, evokes a
and
lot
they're like,
for people.
Okay, wait. We need, there's some more characters. So, Monica, if you take away some of the letters, there's Mia. Okay, so there's okay. Another character's name is Mia, uh-huh. which is just sort of derivative
I
from
like
Monica.
Letty is a wild card of
Letitia
a name.
Letitia is her Letitia. Full name.
Oh. Yeah, that's at least like a thoughtful name. I don't know.
I think though that they were like, okay, we took away some letters from Monica to make Mia letters. Letty.
Letty.
That's how they came up
with any name for women.
With all the female
characters'
names.
What could that possibly be short for?
And then Letitia. Yes. Good,
sounds
good, good.
Good. Okay.
But yeah, so like the women go to cars. That. The most egregious example of this that I think we've come across, at least on the podcast so far, is like the Megan Fox character in Transformers.
Right.
Especially because like her interest in cars is so, it's like basically just used as an excuse to sexualize her. Yes.
Yeah.
Like she's bending over the hood. She's humping.
She's
it.
Measuring the tailpipe.
My
and
favorite
you're like,
sort of like portrayal of a woman who they give these sort of like masculine interests to and decide not to give them more of a personality or any sort of more development because they think, oh, she has like manly interests, is Natalie Portman in the first Thor movie when like two Ooh. Times she goes, I'm an astrophysicist and absolutely no other like
yeah, that's all we know.
Yeah, it's like, but what more do we need to know? She loves science.
She loves the space be. Wars.
Yeah. It's such a, yeah, like those empty, because like, it's like ultimately kind of like an empty gesture to do that. And also like with Mia is, I mean, the way that women are dressed in this movie is very...
Sexy, agreed.
Very hot.
Gorgeous. inspirational.
Like, they're dressed in very particular ways. And, like, I think Mia dresses on the more conservative side, which I think is supposed to be shorthand for, she's a good girl. She make yeah. you the yeah. sandwich. As opposed to, if you're a woman who is at the street race, you are, like, a loose... You're probably named Monica, yeah, and you're strictly there to hook up with whoever wins the race.
Part of the drinking game that I briefly mentioned was you do drink anytime there's like a gratuitous ass shot.
Oh,
they
God.
Get a little bit more in your face about it, actually. I think as the films grow and, in my opinion, do become more feminist, they actually do gravitate towards just showing more butts.
Okay.
Okay. Which I haven't really grappled with. They're...
I mean, it's possible for maybe something to both progress and regress at the same time.
Thank you for
it's
saying
true.
That.
It's true. There are. You're safe. It's fine. Safe space.
Okay.
It's good. But
I'm like, is everything I know shattering? When you really think about it, maybe Oh, God. I mean, this is a big part of my life. Like,
isn't feminism? No. I don't, I'm not, look, we haven't
You know ruled. What? Feminism is a conversation. And
it's
I don't,
a construct.
I think part of this podcast mm-hmm. and feminist discussion is, you know, a discourse. Mm-hmm. And there's no black and white.
True.
This movie I'm is not going to get gray. You to call this not feminist. I won't leave.
Okay. So there's, like, Mia's in the car. I think that there is sort of a tendency for... when a woman is presented as, like you were saying, like good at car, she she also has to present hyper feminine at the same time. Mm. And if there's too much straddling of that line of like, you can't be good at car and present like more traditionally masculine.
Right.
Or like,
she does wear cargo pants. Okay.
But it's 2001. Everyone's wearing cargo pants.
Yeah. And she is wearing them with a very high rise thong.
Yeah.
Wait, we're talking about Letty, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, or, I was talking about Mia.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about Mia.
Because I feel like Letty is the one who's like characteristically like into cars, like the right. dude kind of girl.
I like Letty's character better across the board. Yeah. I feel like Mia is very much a stock girlfriend character.
She kind of remains that way, I will say. She becomes like a mom and a wife, and it's like good for her. But yeah, she's never really like the focus.
Right. Like she's here for this movie to just keep Paul Walker in this space. And like she's good at car for a second, which at least is paid off at the end when she needs to be. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Especially because it's like I love Jordana Brewster.
Yeah.
I want her to have more fun stuff to do.
Yeah. She isn't given much, especially car type stuff, which is the focus of this movie.
Right.
Yeah, the woman good at car thing in this movie, I would say, is not as egregious as like the Megan Fox Transformers thing, because it doesn't feel tacked on and their interest hasn't been like overly sexualized. But it does mean that like the women who know cars get to hang out with the fast boys.
Right.
And the women who don't know cars are the quote trophies who are literally sidelined.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Like Dom picks up Letty at one point.
She's like, and you're my trophy.
You're like, no.
Letty, we do see participate in a race, but Mia is really just there for Paul Walker to put his arm around and help wash some dishes. And
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of to show that he's like a good guy, really, because he
totally.
Defends her, he helps with the dishes. It's kind of shows his intentions too, that he falls for her and not one of the girls at the
not
the
one
races.
Of the Fast and Furious girls.
Yeah, because those are beneath him.
Yeah, and then Mia is also used to show what a quote unquote bad guy that Vince is in this movie,
yeah.
where he is very bossy towards her. He uses a gay slur at the beginning of the movie. He's just generally not like the good guy.
He says at one point, like whenever he sees Brian washing dishes, he's wash my car, and then I'm gonna put you in a dress and put you out on the street, which is like, okay, that's like sex worker shaming. I don't even know what you're saying.
Vince is all over the place, and the way he puts people down is very 2001.
Right.
What is he in his sandwiches?
Yeah.
What? They're sandwich crazy?
He's sandwich crazy or something? That's his whole vibe.
That gave me goosebumps. Like, how dare he?
I mean, that performance. You know, it's a performance where the shirt is doing more work than the man, perhaps.
Even being half a shirt, you know.
It's true. I mean, that shirt was really putting in.
Putting in its
time. It always reminded me of Matthew Lillard's mesh shirts and Hackers. And SLC Punk, honestly. Lillard rocked a mesh for a good 6 to 7 years there.
Feminist icon Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard, true. Love him. Anyways.
let's take a quick break and then we'll come back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Let's talk about Letty. She is
my cat.
She is Faye's cat.
How many nipples does your cat Letty have?
Is it 8? Oh my gosh. I think it's 8 or 6.
Okay, sure.
That sounds about right. Feminist, definitely.
Yeah, very feminist. For sure. Yeah.
I mean, she's honestly doing laps around us. I don't know what the fuck we're doing over here.
You're misgendered my cat. Again.
I'm sorry.
Feminist. So
Letty the character.
Yes.
I smell skanks alert.
Oh.
One of her there. I think Letty, like, I like Letty. I don't know. Faye, I mean, I'm sure you understand this far better than I do. She dies in the franchise, but then it turns out she's not dead.
Okay, so are you just, like, spoiling everything for everyone, or?
Yes.
Yeah, no, yeah. To be fair, they came out about 10 years ago. Yeah, she does die, and she does come back.
Okay, so I can't vouch for any of that, but in the first movie, I feel like she is, like, half stuff I like and half empty girl power tropey stuff that I'm just like, ugh, man.
We don't get to see her do any significant driving until the, again, horribly named Race Wars scene, which is not until toward the end of Act 2. We're like well into the movie before we see her do anything impressive. And it's really in just one scene where a guy pulls up next to her. He's like, baby, you should be watching from the side. I don't want to get any exhaust on that pretty face. And then she's like, how about you put your money where your mouth is? And he's like, how about I race you for that sweet little ass?
And then I do love this scene.
But then she says, if you want to ask, why don't you hit up Hollywood Boulevard, which is another
I actually live
sex
on,
worker
on Hollywood, so I took offense to that.
I mean, that was a direct dig at you.
It felt like it.
And then Michelle Rodriguez puts on the sunglasses and you're like,
I think there's a lot of nuance to her performance.
I really like Michelle Rodriguez's.
I love her.
I really enjoy her. Liam Neeson comments aside, which she retracted, so it's all good.
Oh, I don't know about this.
Look it up. It's not relevant to this discussion. She's great.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, I'll bet you $2,000 whoever wins this race. And then she wins, and we're supposed to be like, wee, girl power. I'm so empowered because a woman won.
Which, to be fair, I am. However, it has no narrative importance or
no
impact.
Narrative important. And you can't just have one tiny glimpse of a woman's empowerment in a movie and then have the rest of the movie showing women who are sidelined, objectified, like all that stuff.
I'm sorry, Caitlin, have you seen a blockbuster before? Of course you can do that. That's every movie I've ever seen in my whole life.
I misspoke. I'm so sorry.
No, I do. I totally agree. I really liked that scene. And that was like the whatever. I guess that's the line of cheesy girl power stuff that I'm like, okay, that scene I like can handle. And I appreciate the gesture, but it doesn't, if you take that scene out of, I'm glad it's there, but if you took it out, nothing about the movie would be different, which just means that she's not, you know, given enough to do that right. makes her critical to the plot.
And then at the end, during the climactic, well, I guess it's not even the climax, because the climax is the race between Dom and Brian at the end with the train.
It gets so loud.
The noise sensitivity. I had no idea.
It's so loud.
The final heist at the end.
My volume was at 11 during the last season.
I'm glad that, like, Letty is allowed to be a part of, like, the heist gang, I guess. Yeah. If you're going to have criminals, you might as well let a woman be a criminal, too.
And it is good that, like, I mean, I wish that we got to see her skill more in mm-hmm. the movie. But it is repeated by a bunch of different characters how skilled she is and, like, what an important part of the group she is, even though we don't really, like... Yeah. You don't see it that much in this movie, but I appreciate.
But then she's the one who crashes, so it's like, all right, well, I mean, I guess it could have been anybody, but you got to make the woman crash the car during the heist.
Certainly not going to be Vin.
Yeah,
right.
Not
Vin. Or Leon, whoever the fuck that is.
Who is Leon?
I don't know.
Which guy is that?
He never comes back.
He's the one who sort of looks like Vin, so I couldn't tell them apart for the first like hour and 20 minutes of the movie. But he's like a nicer Vince, basically.
Right. And then also Jesse, there's like that loose backstory for him where he's like a genius hacker. And he's like, I could have gone to MIT, but I have ADD. Anyways, I'm a street racer now. And you're just like, this journey. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. I mean, back to Letty.
Yeah.
She's Dom's trophy. He says it. Mm. She, hot list of things. And I'm like, man, she deserves better. The whole like... jealousy arc of I smell skanks.
Right.
It's very 2001 and just is like, your boyfriend is flirting with these women. Be mad at him, not mad at the various Monicas.
So many Monicas.
He just approached.
Monicas.
The flock of Monicas that Vin Diesel takes around with him wherever he goes. I think that Letty, like, she is objectified in some ways, but not in the same way that all the Monicas are.
Sure.
The Monicas, I think, are the most egregious example of just complete, like, they're just framing them as...
set dressing. Like, so much male gaze, so many, like, lingering shots of the camera on women's butts and breasts
in the
and,
case,
like, the costuming.
In the case of Letty, though, I would argue that in their scenes together... Dom and Letty are equally sexualized because there is some, like, yes, she's wearing a tank top. Yes, her titties are all the way up. Yes, we see her butt get grabbed in a shot, but we are also seeing Vin's oily
glistening
muscles. We're seeing his, like, shiny head. Like, I feel like in those scenes.
Shiny head.
Yes, I did say we're seeing his shiny head.
You just wait. You think you see shine now? Just wait until The Rock gets involved.
Oh, my
literally,
God.
Literally, part of the drinking game is just full down your beer anytime. He's the only one shiny. It's insane how sweaty he gets.
Do they mat other sweaty
I don't
guys?
Know. He is just glistening. They make a joke in one of the later movies that he is always just covered in baby oil. So it becomes referenced. It's how intense it is.
Wow. It's intense in the first one too. So it was like in there is that one horny scene with Vin and Michelle and they're fucking near a car because you can't resist. They're fast, they're furious. And in that scene I was like, they're both sexualized. And so that specific scene for me was kind of like, okay, I guess that was just like a hot blockbuster sex scene.
Right. Because, I mean, the target demographic of these movies are teen boys, young men, the boys of any age, really.
Yeah.
And, right, so it's like, well, we need an example of like a really fucking cool, hot, but like not too hot, but hot enough, manly man who's sweaty
never too
and
hot.
Muscly.
Except Paul Walker, who is... Too hot, too furious.
So, yeah, we, like, you know, I guess they need to throw in an impressive man who Du Bois, who these movies are targeted for, can be like, oh, man, he's so cool. I want to be just like my boy Vin Diesel.
Right, yeah. The whole first movie just, like, makes me hope more for Letty in subsequent installments. So, Faye... how do you feel Letty's character progresses? Do you like it? Do you not like it? What are your
well,
insights?
Well, definitely do like her character. She gets a lot more exposition. You get a lot more of like her and Vin's relationship, and I think he treats her really well. I think it's like a very, they're on equal playing field. They're both part of the team in the same capacity, and I think they're both like well respected. I didn't really think about in terms of like her being this like damsel that does need to be rescued, because that's like the entire plot when she comes back to life, basically.
Which I still don't understand.
So she gets fridged and then unfridged.
She basically, they fake her death to use her as a pawn against Vin. So she gets like brainwashed. So even while she is a damsel, she's like this badass sort of supervillain. Mm-hmm. Like, so I guess I never really like thought of her that she is definitely like in a space to be rescued, but she's not weak. She's still the main character, and like,
right.
I don't know. So up for discussion, but
does the movies, does the franchise get any better in terms of like, because so many shots of this movie are just like sweeping shots of like women's bodies, mm-hmm. and like them being like framed as the trophies for the cool fast boys who win the race. Does that get any better, or is it still okay?
It does not. That's just part of them. That's, I think, from what I know about this world, it's like somewhat a part of the culture. But like, there are moments where they become kind of more self-aware about it, like when Gal Gadot becomes part of the cast.
Right, because Gal Gadot becomes a part of the cast.
And she's like an incredible racer. And she, there's a part where she like uses her sexuality to like her advantage. Like, it becomes a little bit more like self-aware.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. I mean, people go see the movies for like this fun romp and for the hot girls.
I mean, there's a moment like about 70 minutes into the movie where people are spraying a woman's ass with a shower nozzle. And then she shakes her titties around while wearing a wet white tank top.
Seems consensual.
And to Michelle Rodriguez's credit, in 2017, when Fate came out, mm-hmm. the Fate of the Furious, mm-hmm. the eighth one, she posted on Instagram the day that it was released on DVD. Very important to the first
callback.
One. She said, quote, "The Fate of the Furious is out digitally today. I hope they decide to show some love to the women of the franchise in the next one, or I might just have to say goodbye to a loved franchise. It's been a good ride, and I'm grateful for the opportunity the fans and studios have provided over the years. One love." Has there been a Fast and the Furious since The Fate of the Furious?
No.
That was
the last one.
So I guess it kind of remains to be seen whether they will hear her on that, but she is in the next one, so hopefully that means that, I mean, even for a franchise like this, even a small step, and it seems like at the addition of like the Gal Gadot character and like letting Letty do more, that they're edging in the right direction. But I thought it was cool for like a major star to
demand it.
Yeah.
And I will say, for like the longevity of these movies, or like in the canon of them, every woman does appear to be in charge of her. She makes a choice. Like, mm-hmm. no mm-hmm. woman
She's
seems forced
agency.
Into this. Yeah, she has agency. No woman is like forced to be this like sideshow car skank or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like
these women are where they want to be, doing what they want to be doing. Mm-hmm. And there's, I think, a lot to say to that. There's like, nothing feels like cringy to me when you're like, this woman doesn't seem to have the ability to say no to her situation.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I hope that it's, and it almost like seems like a kind of a clever screenwriting hack that's employed there, where the women are like, they do question things sometimes. They have like somewhat realistic, like Mia is really frustrated and deceived. Another fun man deceives the object of his interest for the majority of the movie. Trope that we love, but at least that, yeah, like they do have agency and they do ultimately make the choice, am I gonna go with what either Paul Walker or Vin Diesel wants or not? Conveniently for the screenplay, she usually chooses to do what the male protagonist wanted her to do anyways.
Yes. She's also doing so much. Mia's doing so much emotional labor throughout the whole movie because she's constantly breaking up fights and like having to deal with this creep Vince who likes her, and then like trying to divert that away, and like Dom's always like pissing people off. So she's always like, stop fighting. And she's just doing a lot. And the burden shouldn't be on her to have to do all this stuff. But she's constantly just being like, cut it out. Don't do that.
Yeah, that continues. And in fact, it gets even like the labor she puts in is like more and more because she becomes like a wife and a mom. And it's just like she's constantly pleading with them to not go into these dangerous situations where they are weirdly in charge of protecting the entire national security.
Oh my god. Well, I love how this takes continue.
It is insane.
Well, they're the most fast and furious of all the people.
When
they're the
you
best
think about it,
to
they
protect
really are,
us.
Yeah. And it becomes clear. Okay. I have a quick update on the Michelle Rodriguez thing. There was some questions of whether she would appear in Fast and the Furious 9 that was resolved just a couple of weeks ago. Ooh. They confirmed she is going to be in Fast 9, but she refused to sign her contract until they had signed a female screenwriter to the
oh
movie.
My God, all Michelle right. Rodriguez. So. That is my cat.
Isn't that the
that is the best choice I ever made.
Slash Film reported that she confirmed she will be back for Fast and the Furious 9 after holding out until a female screenwriter was brought on for the sequel. That means Universal has hired a female writer for this franchise for the first time ever. But as of now, the identity of this elusive female screenwriter has not been announced. It's me.
Well, Jamie, congratulations.
I'm not just breaking
not
news.
See that movie.
It's me. I don't have a driver's license, but I'm writing Fast and the Furious 9.
Let's just see if they pay them the same amount.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
But anyways, shouts out to Michelle Rodriguez, feminist icon, queer icon.
Yes.
We love her.
Indeed. Should we talk a little bit about the male friendship, the toxic masculinity that is present in the
film? Homoerotic tension.
The
I
homoeroticism.
Can see skirting around it. Yeah. It's palpable.
The greasy boys are very close.
The looks they give each other. I think this might be like one of the gayest movies that exists. I mean,
there's a lot written about like the use of homoeroticism in. I mean, and it is employed in action movies pretty frequently. And there's so many franchises that sort of play this. I mean, it is like queer baiting to an extent. It's not. I don't know. It's weird. Like in the Fast and the Furious, it's never what they're saying. It's just like how they're looking at each other and how they're interacting with each other while they're saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is a way for Vin Diesel to make that, I would say, incredible monologue at the end about how he doesn't fucking care about anyone in his life except his car. And his car is his wife. And
his wife.
His wife. Yeah. His car wife. And but like the way that him and Paul Walker are looking at each other through it, you're just like, oh, there's like there is a connection here. Like yeah. The way like male friendships are more important than the romantic hetero relationships.
Yes. Yeah. And the movie cares more about the relationship between Brian and Vince and like reconciling that, because like Brian starts off on Vince's bad side and stays there for most of the movie, but then when he saves him at the end and then calls in the helicopter to save his life, like that's him being like, oh, finally, like maybe Vince will like me now. And the movie cares more about reconciling that relationship than it does about developing any of the female characters or like any of those relationships.
Yeah.
So there's that fun thing.
That's a tricky thing with this, because there are like, we haven't talked about a lot of things in this franchise that I think are generally good for the world. It is one of the most diverse blockbuster franchises in existence. That's really cool. Michelle Rodriguez is a woman of color, and she is like the female lead. She's a queer female of color, mm-hmm. which was not known in 2001, but still, I mean, that's cool. I do always like, and I don't know, I mean, Faye, you'll know more about how like the male friendships develop. I wouldn't say that the male, like that Brian and Dom's relationship is like healthy, but there is, you know, they're just mostly like, look at my pipes, like I can't say I love you, so I'm gonna make you a 10-second car. Like there is that like weird repression in there, but I do appreciate when attention is given to male friendships.
I enjoy that too, and I will say, and I think I talked about this a bit on our Lord of the Rings episode, but yeah. I think there's a tendency to see a close male friendship in a movie and then automatically assign homoeroticism to it, because I don't know if it's just because we're so used to not seeing positive male friendships in movies, and it's like, oh, well, if two men are close, there must be some underlying homoeroticism there.
Right.
Which that may be true for some male friendships, and it isn't a lot of the time. So I feel like it maybe does a disservice sometimes to be like, two men who are close, well, then there's it's sexy.
No, I agree you're right. with that, but I in the case of this franchise, well, I think it's pretty homoerotic.
I think also because these movies are so enveloped in Vin Diesel, and he is a producer on them, and he has such a staunch say in what goes on in them. And then you look at his off-screen relationship with Paul Walker, and it's sort of like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Like, he is just, they're genuinely the best of friends. Vin Diesel, if you follow him on social media, he has an ongoing hashtag, Toretto Tuesday, where he posts a photo of him and Paul Walker together. He named his kid Pablo after him. Aww. He is constantly talking about how much he misses Paul Walker, who, I mean, I think every listener probably knows, but he did pass away a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Like, everything Vin does seems to be a tribute to him. And I just think, like, it kind of makes me regret mentioning this, like, joke of homoeroticism, because I genuinely think they were, like, brothers. And I think that's explored in the movies, and kind of, I think a lot of my, like, perception of it is skewed by what I see outside of the movies. But they just genuinely, like, their brotherhood is, I think, something we never get to see. It's two dudes that are just really good friends.
Yeah, and, like, really care about each other.
And I could be mistaken. I'm sure someone, like, in the comments will let me know. But I do think they say they love each other in the movies. I'm, like, almost 100% sure.
Mm. Good. I mean, yeah. Hopefully at some point.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
They've been together for 10 years, and they're just like, I'm going to get you a 10-second car any day now.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. I mean, in general, I think that it's good. I think that we can't really speak to this because we're a bunch of straight ladies. All of our queer listeners, please, like, give us insights. I think that there's elements of both employed, and there are in a lot of this genre. But in general, I mean, any example for, like, young men that, like, normalizes male-male friendship.
Yeah.
And it seems like this franchise does pretty well with that. So
yeah, they don't shy away from it for, like, fear of maybe, like, being, like, perceived in some sort of, I don't know. It's the core concept of the movies is, like, brotherhood, and I guess more, like, overall family, because I do think that the women are just as important, like, plot wise and, like, development wise. Yeah, so there's, like, a whole lot of butts, but then there's a whole lot of love.
Wow. Does Vince die?
Vince? Yeah. Like, that character, yeah, he's not really.
He's only in the first one?
That's a relief.
He's in a few more, but he's, like, by no means a vital character.
Okay.
You get Ludacris in the next one.
I knew that.
Which,
yeah.
Him and then Tyrese are, they come into the team.
Nice.
Yeah, and then every film has, like, this iconic, like, getting the team together montage, which is my favorite trope of any movie.
Those are good montages. Yes.
Not all tropes are bad.
Oh, no. A montage is, like, my kryptonite. Like,
Jamie, like, you were saying, the diversity in this movie, it's like, Vin Diesel identifies as a person of color.
He is, yeah.
There are some, I mean, this kind of struck me, where the first two groups that the FBI identifies as suspects of the hijackings are Hector's group, which are, I think, all Latinx men, and then Johnny Tran's group, which are all Asian men. So it's like, oh, these people of color are the criminals, but I would also
people
say
people of color are also the heroes.
The good guys who are also criminals.
And I would argue that they're first.
But they're the heroes, because they're the shiniest ones. That's how you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But this is, I mean, considering so many franchises, so many action movies, and movies in general are made up of almost entirely white people, this movie does do quite a bit better in terms of, you know, like, racial diversity.
A big, like, tenet of Vin, like, producing these movies, and I think why they do so well, like, internationally, is he tries to get actors involved that are like really iconic in different countries. So like Tokyo Drift has, I don't know the actor's name, but the Han is the character's name. He's like a big Japanese actor. And when they get Gal Gadot, she's Israeli. Mm-hmm. And like, I just like really commend him for his, even, I don't know, maybe if his intentions are more like capitalistic and like box office numbers, I want to think more of him and think like he just like really embodies these kind of values of familia. But I could be giving him way too much credit and just be like such a sucker for these movies. I can't see past it.
I mean, it sounds generally good to me. It seems like the cast of this movie, for all like the fun drama clickbait that I've read about it, in general, I mean, it seems like they try to do right by each other. I mean, I'm still like super impressed by like Michelle Rodriguez using her platform like responsibly and to get other women work. And I mean, what Vin Diesel, I mean, that sounds like it makes business sense and kind of helps everyone too. So like, I'm not going to fault him for that. Yeah, I don't know. I appreciate this franchise. It's just too loud for me.
I'm going to say I don't appreciate this franchise nearly as much. And granted, I have been exposed to almost none of it. But to me, I mean, I think there's too much of a focus on like the male friendship and the, hey, we're bros and we gotta stick together. And yes, women are present, but I think at least in the first one, and I would imagine in the later films, that they could be included more meaningfully, because I mean,
but it also sounds like they're fridged and damseled at a higher rate
and
too.
Also and the ratio of men to women I think remains pretty unequal, where it's still mostly men. Also just that these movies seem to largely be about kind of like men proving that they're awesome and fast, which like translates to who of us is the more manly. The faster you are, the more macho you are. You're the best man. So, and there's so many scenes where like men are like, okay, who's the faster? Who's the best man? And I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah, well, if you don't care about that, then these are just not going to be the movies for you.
They're not for me.
I just think that, like, for a hyper-masculine franchise, I mean, I will, I'm sorry, but I cannot make the argument that this is even remotely a feminist franchise. like, that argument is kind of off the table for me. But, like, in terms of, like, is it a net positive thing for the world? I think that there's, like, certain areas of it that could be argued as a positive, as far as an action franchise goes. I mean, well, seriously, though, it's like if you have a gigantic action franchise, would you rather it be core in male friendship and like has a hugely diverse cast, or would you rather they make more like Blade Runner movies? Like, I just think like in this specific genre, I feel like there's a lot of positive.
I think that's maybe why I give it so much credit, because I do love action movies. So then you kind of have to narrow it down to action movies, and then in that genre, this is, I think, one of the greater ones.
Do I want an equally diverse female action franchise? Hell yeah.
Yes.
But I honestly, though, if it was really loud, I still might not see it in theaters.
Oh my god. You gotta get that checked out.
Digital. Listen, I know why.
it's that diet Nas you were drinking.
I have permanent brain damage from my diet Nas. But there's, I don't know, I think that there's definitely pros and cons.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't hate that it exists the way I hate that other franchises exist.
And that's kind of all you can hope from someone, that you don't hate it exists.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it's, but I also, I'm like, you know, if we're going into like, as a young boy, better or worse off for having seen a Fast and the Furious movie? I don't know. I don't think that they would have more respect for women. In fact, they may have less.
I mean, like I said, there's so many shots of this movie are just like, look at these hot women who are, again, framed as literal trophies. Like, they are the prizes to be won. They're wearing next to nothing. You know, they're just so heavily objectified that I think, you know, the people seeing this are like, oh, women are prizes, except for the one cool one who's my sister and the other cool one who's my girlfriend. And they're only cool because they know how to drive good.
Right.
I feel like this movie does more net negative than positive, but I don't know. It was also from 2001.
I don't know. Faye, where are you? I mean, I guess we know where you fall generally.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to like detract this movie from the rest of them, so I'm thinking franchise-wide, like it's more of a net positive. I don't think a young boy would necessarily leave with more respect for women, but I don't think that the movie degrades women quite to the extent that Caitlin's saying, or maybe that you see in the first one, which I do upon like rewatch and note-taking realize it's like a little bit more grim than I had been remembering.
I mean, I think this at least speaking to this one, I don't think it does very well, except for some elements of Letty and like one element of Mia. I don't know. I mean, I also like fully understand that's not what people go to these movies for. Like, I don't know. There's certain, I guess for me, like sometimes I would prefer a movie that is so clearly not trying to like be a feminist movie than a movie that's like, this is one's for the ladies, and it's just fucking hollow and sending bad messages.
Yeah, because what's worse to me would be, we're going to remake Fast and Furious, but with all women or something. That to me is like more degrading, being like, oh, women just want to see an identical film, but just featuring women. It's like, no, we can see movies with men in them. Yeah. Just the women should have development and personalities and names and speak to each other.
And women should get their own original franchises. Yeah. Like, please stop doing all family reboots. Yeah. Please.
So much of like what I'm conditioned to think is like, well, like it could be so much worse. Like, so I know. I think I came into it more like a little bit aggressively. Like, these are feminist films because it could be so much worse. But obviously, like more dissecting it, it's like we could do better.
We could for sure do better. Yeah. I and with like the all female reboot stuff, I just, when that was first happening, I didn't really think about it. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, this sounds fun. But then kind of in retrospect now, it's just like, oh, okay. Well, that sort of sets the precedent that every franchise needs to be beta tested with men first to see if like, you know, like it has to be so. And then every time that happens, you know, the Redditors come out of the woodwork to just like ruin lives. So. I think just give women their own franchises.
Especially because, like, the ones that people aren't really talking about that much as being all female reboots, but like that movie The Hustle that came out was essentially a reboot of Dirty Rotten Scandals. The Hustle was not a good movie. Little was a reboot of Big, also not a good movie. What Men Want was a reboot of What Women Want, also not a good movie. They're like, it's just like, write good original stories featuring women and don't try to like take movies that had been commercial successes and reboot them with women, because you're not doing a good job, Hollywood.
And it sabotages women and female leads in the end, too, because when those movies don't do well, it's like, oh, well, people don't want to see movies with women in them. And it's just like, no, we just don't want to see the same movie that we didn't like the first time. Like, why would anyone want that?
Yeah. Oh, sigh. So, does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
Apparently it does.
I think it might. Okay, there are two instances where women interact at all in the entire movie. One is where Letty comes in to Toretto's and says to Mia, "How you living, girl?" Mia does not respond. Second one is the one we've talked about a few times already, where Letty goes up to the two women who are hanging on
Monica
Dom,
and Monica,
which are the seven different Monicas, and she says, "I smell skanks. Why don't you girls pack it up before I leave tread marks on your face?" Wow, the one who had been named Camille says, "Okay," and walks away.
Love that she responds.
She responds, and
she
responds
sort of just like, okay, good point, honestly. You're
but I mean, if you're going to pass the Bechdel test, it should be
I don't think
a threat from one woman to another.
And using a sort of derogatory word that's almost always used to attack women, skank. Yes.
Wow.
So we're all in agreement. Feminist film.
I'm truly like, they really did it to us.
Yes.
those sneaky little bastards. They made it past the Bechdel test. That, I mean, okay. I take it all back, feminist text.
Yeah, the Fast and the Feminist.
It's been just
Fast and the Feminist.
Let's rate the movie. on our nipple scale, 0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of women.
Oh, okay. Mm.
2.5.
Really?
Yeah, she's
2.5.
Okay.
Right in the middle.
Who are you giving your nipples to? Do you have any defense of the point before Caitlin and
I? You all know where I stand, you know? Right. It could be worse, and that's my final thought.
Summer 2001, it could be worse. Yeah.
I'm going to give 2 of my nipples to Michelle Rodriguez on her Instagram post, and the half to my cat, Letty.
Yes.
Who deserves
it. A true icon. Yeah. An ally.
An
absolute ally.
I'd say so. I'm like...
I'm going to give this movie a half nipple because even though there are 2 female characters who are significant characters in the story, they're really only framed as the love interests or girlfriends of the male characters who the movie is way more concerned about developing as individuals and as relationships, the male friendship to each other. We see them not really get to participate as much as I would like. Mm-hmm. And it's not until fairly late into the movie that we get to see them really doing anything at all that has any narrative impact. I mean, like, one of the ways that, like, Brian and Vince, like, try to exert dominance over each other is, like, trying to claim ownership of Mia. Like, they're like, Mia is like the object of affection and everyone's just like, but she's mine,
right?
So there's just all these different things. Yes, it is good that we have a more racially diverse cast than we are used to seeing in movies of this nature, but I just think that, I mean, between the underdeveloped female characters who we do get to know and then the rest of any woman who we see on screen is clearly just there as like hypersexualized, objectified set dressing just doesn't really do the gender any service. So I'm going to go with a half nipple.
Okay.
And I'm going to give that half nipple to, I suppose, Michelle Rodriguez for advocating that women be more meaningful, a more meaningful part of this story in the much, much later movies of this franchise.
Yes.
I'm going to do one. I'm gonna give it a 1. I do think that there are positive elements of this franchise in general as it pertains to gender, especially this movie specifically. Not that much. There is the way that women are framed, the way the camera frames women in this movie is like super sexual and to the point where it's like funny, which should never be the case.
Right.
It's really weird. The soundtrack sucks.
But Ja Rule.
It's too loud.
It's too loud.
But yeah, I think that some elements of the male friendships, the very racially diverse cast, and the fact that there is, at very least, a queer woman of color helming the token girl in the franchise.
Her character's hetero, though, as far as we can tell. So.
But in terms of, like, represent, I mean, I think that her, like, being openly queer and still being in a major franchise is progress.
Yeah.
So basically only because of Michelle Rodriguez, because it seems like there has never been a woman behind the camera of a Fast and Furious production, based on the credits of this movie. But for the things that were given, I'm going to give it 1 nippy and give it, kick it back to Michelle.
Very nice.
Vroom, vroom, baby.
Vroom.
And that's the vroom on that.
Faye, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being here.
So I think I begged you to let me do this. And I kind of got torn apart.
But a lot to think about. Yeah, sometimes.
And I'm not going to stop watching them.
Well, here's the thing.
No,
that's what this podcast is all about. You're still allowed to love the things you love.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer.
We just encourage people to examine the things that they love critically.
Oh, to close, actually, Faye, would you mind sharing the drinking game with us?
Oh, okay.
Just
yeah.
For
so
future
I'll,
watchers.
I will name a couple things I remember that are notable. And I want to give a shout out to my friend Zach Kornfeld, who helped develop this game with me.
Wow.
So you drink anytime The Rock is so, so sweaty and no one else is. Anytime Vin is wearing sleeves.
Whoa.
A gratuitous butt shot.
Uh-huh.
Especially in the movie where they go to Brazil, they have the same B-roll shot of there's like a big statue. They show that about 15 times. So you're going to want to drink every time they kind of whip around.
The Jesus statue?
I think it's a woman. I think it might be Mary. Or
Feminist? Okay.
It's incredibly feminist. What are some other things? Anytime, like, sort of a henchman dies, a lot of people die, and it's sort of unrecognized. I would say in the first one, well, I don't know if those deaths count. To your discretion, you may drink or you may not. And anytime they just straight up defy physics, as I said, the stakes get higher and higher. There are train scenes, there are cliffs, there are airplanes, there are parachutes. You're going to get pretty drunk later on. And let me think if there's like a final one I can, you know, if anyone wants to DM me, I'll send them the PDF. But
yeah, please. I'm
those
hoping
are
there's an official
kind
document.
Of the highlights. Oh, anytime you do think either Vin and The Rock or Vin and Brian are going to make out, but they don't.
Okay.
Right.
Nice.
They get really close, like physically and emotionally, I feel like there are some charged scenes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So happy drinking.
Happy drinking. And where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
I am at Faye Orlove on everything. And then the Junior High Space is at Junior High LA, also on everything.
On Hollywood Boulevard.
Yes, and physically we exist as a space on Hollywood Boulevard where the skanks hang out. So yes. Come say hi.
I mean, we're all out there.
I'm always there on Hollywood Boulevard because I am personally a skank.
Yeah, so yeah. Skanks welcome. Skank. Actually, we might make new shirts.
All skanks welcome.
Welcome, incredible. Accepted, and applauded.
Yes, and you design things. You've got stickers and items that you should.
I know. I didn't bring
buy.
You guys gifts this time. That's I got to make more fast merch. I'm Jewish, so it's actually pronounced merch. Yeah, I have to make some more merch. I have to be careful with the merch I make because I do get called out a lot because I have a lot of problematic faves, mostly the Kardashians. But I think a Vin and Paul retrospective mug could be called for.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Since you just got to choose the moment. Yeah. That's all.
I agree. But thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being here. Our stuff. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Although, do I ever go on that website? Hardly ever,
you know,
not to brag, but yeah, check us out online.
Weird flex.
I know. Rate and review us on iTunes if you so choose, especially if you want to give us, you know, 5 nips.
Oh, like start. Yes, it took me a second. It's been a long day. Yeah, and you can check out our Patreon, aka Matreon. $5 a month means that you get 2 extra episodes a month and access to our full back catalog, which is now approaching 50 extra episodes that you've never heard. So
yes.
Check that out. And check out our Tee Public store with all our merch, teepublic.com/thebechdelcast, which hopefully by the time this episode airs, I will have made the Fast and the Feminist merch.
Do I get a free one?
Because of course you do.
Yeah.
So yeah, check out all our merch. We've got it all. And until next time, friends,
room,
beep,
beep, beep, and break. Bye.
Bye.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.